I'm John Rothman.
And I'm Mitch Tuckman.
And when we left off with our wonderful guest, Charlie Ellis, we were talking about Social Security. Mitch, you want to pick up on that?
Charlie, you were telling us that the difference between taking Social Security at 62 years old versus 70, two people, exact same income, can mean a 76% difference. But what if I retire at 62 and I need that Social Security and I don't really want to wait until I'm 70, even though I can get 76% more? I feel like, well, you know, I never know how long I'm going to live, and maybe I'll just grab it now.
That might be your way of thinking about it. It's not the way I would think about it. I would think very carefully. I might check with my doctor. If he said, Charlie, you're going to go in the next 90 days, then I guess I'd go ahead and claim it. But if I was going to be hanging around at all and had a decent chance of living to, let's say, 80, I would defer, because that extra income would be terrifically valuable. And you never know, you might live longer and then longer again. And to me, the ability to have a higher income that is adjusted for inflation to protect me against any inflation that ever happens and goes as long as I can live, I think that's a really important benefit. I would like to have it.
And in your book, Falling Short, that just came out, that you co-wrote with some real important people from the retirement industry think tank at Boston College, I believe, right?
Right.
What are some of the key things that the everyday investor can take away from that book, like this Social Security claiming strategy? Are there other ideas that you propose for people?
Sure. One of the easiest ones to talk about is if I can convince someone to wait until they're 70, not only do they get 76% more than they would have gotten if they quit working at 62, that 76% I think is really important. That's not the total sum of it. You then have a chance, 8 years, you're not taking money out of your 401k, 8 straight years, you're not taking any money out. 8 straight years, you're putting money in, and it just happens that your 60s are a time when most of us find our spending level saucers down. It's a little bit lower than it normally is, and then it lifts up again in our mid-70s, late-70s because of health care. But you're not taking money out. You are putting money in, and you can put in pretty generous contributions. And you get a return on your investments that are there when you started at 62 and all the accumulation. If you put those three together and you have a shabby, not very good market, you still have increased your 401k by about 150%. And if you have a good market, decent, normal, good market, you'd be increasing it by 200%. And that's really important, because that means your payouts can be increased by that magnitude too. So you get the bigger Social Security and the bigger 401k payout, and the combination can lift large numbers of people. And when I talk about large numbers, I'm not talking about 100,000 people. I'm talking about 10 or 20 million people being lifted from a level where they can't quite make it, or worse, up to a level where they can say, I've got enough and I'm going to be okay.
And we should remind everybody that enough, in your judgment, is when you hit retirement, having at least 80% of your top income, whatever you were earning the last 5 years before your retirement.
Right, you are.
Okay, I want to reiterate that, because everybody who is listening to the sound of our voices will now be able to compute roughly what it is that they need in order to retire with more.
Charlie, since you published the book Falling Short, you've been out, I guess, talking about the book and listening to people's responses to the book. What has been the response to the book, and what are some of the surprising things that came out of the book that people are listening to and saying, wow, I didn't know that. That's important. Maybe something we should change.
Well, the first thing is almost everybody is surprised by how much benefit you get by working 8 more years and how valuable it would be for every individual to be able to sit down and know the numbers and then make their own choice for themselves and their family. I'm all for free choice, but I don't think anybody is making a free choice when they haven't got the information they need to make a good free choice. that's one of the things that virtually everybody is picking up on and saying, boy, is that really important? The second thing that really comes across very strongly is this is a problem that could grow to be one of the worst social, economic, financial problems our country's had in 50 years. And it's
why, hold on. Explain to me why it could be a major problem.
You tell me what you think, John, when there are 20 million people who don't have enough to live comfortably, reasonably comfortably in retirement.
That's exactly the key. You're exactly right. But I want people to understand what it means that if people do reach retirement age, don't have enough money, don't have enough resources, haven't contacted Rebalance IRA in order to know precisely what they can do. And that's the only reason why I interrupted you, because the statement you made was so critical.
Well, the sad reality, John, is individuals are going to be left on their own. You know, 10 years after retirement, you don't know anybody at the company that you could call, and they don't know you. And they don't have a responsibility for you as they look at life. And you don't have a claim on them as they look, as you look at life and they look at life. So you will really be on your own, getting older, starting to incur some pretty serious health costs, not having enough money to be able to do the kinds of things that you'd always thought you would be able to do. And that's a terrible combination for individuals to go into if it could be avoided. And I think the reality is it can be avoided for most people.
And what is the way to avoid it? What is the method you recommend?
First, be sure everybody knows about the Social Security and 76% increase. Second, be sure everybody knows about the benefit increase they can have in their 401k. Third, and this is something we have not talked about, but it's very important, we could easily get to a very real strength of solution if, as soon as you took a job, you're automatically in the plan, in the 401k plan, unless you say, I don't want it, so I'd like to opt out, or I want to get out of this deal. Fine, you can opt out, but otherwise, you're in the plan automatically. You're in the plan automatically, and you automatically match the match. You get the free money that the company was prepared to put up automatically, unless you say, oh, no, I don't want that. That would double my money. I don't want that. And then third is you have auto escalation. Every time you get a raise, your choice, but one quarter or one third goes into increasing the savings that you're putting aside for your future use when you need it later on. And that auto escalation could rise until you get up to something like 12% savings. But if you do it gradually and only when you've already gotten a raise, it doesn't hurt. It's not causing you to change your behavior and so on. And then the investing, have the investing be done automatically for you in a balanced portfolio that is automatically rebalanced and is invested in index funds so that you don't have to worry about a thing, because you know in the long run it's going to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, and it'll be very, very sensibly managed so that for you, by the time you come to your retirement years, hopefully 70 instead of 62, you will have accumulated a substantial amount in your 401k plan compared to the way we are today, which is, get this one, half the people in America who have a 401k plan and are 65 have less than $110,000 in the plan, and they're about to start a 20 to 25-year retirement. It's not possible for them to make good on that retirement dream or plan that we all had with that kind of money.
Charlie, one of the things
I
want to...
Putting money in all along, mm-hmm, and building it up and investing it in low-cost index funds with somebody rebalancing on their behalf, they would be in such a different position that you'd say, well done.
And let's point out that that's precisely what Rebalance IRA does. It rebalances, it gives you individual attention, and their method is the index fund, which is precisely what you're recommending and why you've been so supportive of Rebalance IRA. Is that correct?
Exactly so. I mean, I like Mitch and the other guys, but the reason I'm interested in the program is that I know we've got a problem, and when I can see a solution to that problem, I want to get behind it.
Charlie, we've talked a lot about the type of investor that should get an advisor, but, you know, when somebody's out there looking for an advisor, and obviously I'm biased because I think our firm at Rebalance IRA, we have a great service, but just in general, forgetting that bias, when you're talking to people, how do you help them pick an advisor? What do you tell them things to look for? Obviously, don't go to a broker, go to a registered investment advisor, but what other things do you tell people when they ask your advice on that?
The reason it's very important to go to a registered investment advisor is that they are required by the federal government to meet standards of fiduciary responsibility, which basically means they've got to put the interest of the client ahead of themselves. The brokers have said, we don't want to be required to treat people that way. We don't want to be held responsible for being fiduciaries. We don't want to have penalties if we don't take care of our clients by putting their interests first. And it's really embarrassing as a nation that the President of the United States was commenting about, this is not right. This is not the way things should be. The political process, however, it looks like the people who don't want to be subject to fiduciary responsibilities and are going to be continuing to, quote-unquote, give financial advice, that they will be able politically to get this legislation or regulation not passed, not approved. It's a shame.
Charlie, we only have another minute with you, and we appreciate the fact that you've done three segments with us. What is your closing word of advice to our listeners?
Saving is a wonderful idea because the only person you're saving for is your family and yourself.
And again, your new book, Falling Short, it is a superb volume, and we want to make sure that people have an opportunity to pick that up. And Mitch, again, give your phone number and the website.
Sure. All the things you're hearing about at Rebalance IRA, which you can find at rebalanceira.com, we work with people and help you figure out how to retire with more using a lot of the things we're talking about on this show. And you can also reach us at 877-IRA-4-IRA, which is also 472-4472.
Charlie Ellis, I want to say a big thank you. It's been a wonderful, wonderful segment, three segments with you, and we appreciate your taking the time to join us.
Thanks, Charlie.
Yep. A great pleasure.
You All right, sir.
Good.
All right.
Thanks.
I'm John Rothman.
And I'm Mitch Tuckman.
And we will be back right after the break to continue our discussion with you right here on Retire With More.